Now, if you take your Bibles, please, and open to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Well, as we are all very well aware, that family relationships can be a blessing and can also be a challenge. They can be a very difficult thing at times and a very easy thing at other times. Frustrating and equally joyous. Husbands and wives travel this road together. And when each one honors the other, seeking to meet their spouse's needs fully, there will be much more joy and contentment and peace in life. That is the Christian way. That is the way God has set up this marriage relationship. That each one is concerned primarily with one thing, and that is meeting the needs of their spouse. That's your job. That's the job of the husband. That's the job of the wife. And when both individuals understand that is their primary role before God, to meet the needs of their spouse, there will be great joy and contentment and peace, because that truly is the Christian way. As believers, we are always to look to the person of Jesus Christ as our supreme example of being human, adopting His attitudes, mercies, compassion, strength, and humble service. When we stray from the Lord in our mind and in our heart and in our spirit, and when we act in the ways of this age or the world, there is going to be conflict. And there's going to be conflict every time. One of the things that we have to remember that we oftentimes just forget as followers of Jesus Christ is that He is perfectly human. He is the ideal human. And the way He conducted Himself and the way He lived life while on earth is our supreme example. And sometimes we forget that. We lose hold of that. But as we see Him relate to others, we begin to see a different picture of Jesus. I think one of the difficulties we have is that when we start thinking about Jesus, we start thinking about what did He teach? What did He teach? What did He teach? What did He say? What were His lessons about? How can I absorb His lessons and know the truth and know the facts? And that's good. We need to do that. But there's another thing that I would recommend to you as well. The next time you start reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, set aside your focus on what did Jesus say? Or what did He teach? And read the stories, put yourself in the picture, with your focus on how did He do with people? How did Jesus do with people? How did He interact with them? When we focus on that, we put ourselves in the scene, in the story, that you're there, you're a part of it, and we see His attitude, His mercies, His compassion, His strength, and His humble service. When we live our lives directed by what this world says we're supposed to do, and we focus on ourselves, we live by the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. I'm the center of the universe. I want what I want, and I want it now. And everybody else exists to serve me. When we have that as our life approach, and we demand for ourselves in our own life, our marriages will be severely strained. In fact, it makes it nearly impossible. It makes it impossible. We need to strive to be easy to love. Easy to love. You think about yourself, those of you who are married here this morning. Are you easy to love? Would your spouse say, yeah, she's easy to love. He's easy to love. As opposed to having scales. Easy to love in the first year or a couple of months. Then a little bit more difficult, not so easy, kind of neutral, difficult, a little bit difficult, pretty difficult, exceedingly difficult, impossible. Are you easy? Easy to love? Well, in the last message we saw last week, we saw Peter's instruction to wives, basically focusing on winning an unbelieving husband to faith in Christ, and yet it also addressed all women of faith in regard to their behavior to the husbands. And now Peter flips that coin over and addresses the husbands in verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. This exhortation is rather compressed compared to what he said in our previous verses, perhaps because he addresses at more length those individuals in the society who would be more susceptible to being abused and being hard-pressed and mistreated because of their faith in Christ. So he addresses them more because they're being abused and hard-pressed and mistreated. Men, less so in that culture. So he says less at length to them. But what he does say is pretty important and rather critical. He says to them, likewise. Men, likewise. Likewise to what? Likewise to what? Well, in the same way as he talked about the duty of submission in 2:13 and 2:18 and 3:1 to the government employers and for wives toward their husbands, this is a time for believing husbands to submit to serve. To submit to serve their wives. Husbands are to obey that duty by adhering to a couple basic principles that we have in this passage of Scripture as they submit themselves to serve in their family and to serve their own wives. We see a couple of different things in this manner of servant leadership with understanding. Husbands, likewise, in the same way, in the same attitude of submission to serve, do so with understanding. With understanding. It is not just accepting this is who she is. If your wife is unkind and self-centered and disrespecting, mean and critical, it's not good for the husband to accept that. We don't accept those behaviors. With understanding, it does not mean a passive man letting her live in sin, rather to shepherd her to righteousness, rather dwelling according to knowledge. Gnosin is the Greek word there. According to what the Word of God says about a woman and about people in general, we are to live with them with understanding. A couple of things we need to understand as men and as husbands. We know that she is a sinner, a daughter of Adam and Eve, not perfect, not perfect. Just like they know we're not perfect. We are a sinner. Men are sinners, women are sinners, we're all sinners. We are not perfect and we ought not expect our spouse to be perfect. We live with them understanding that. Yet we also understand that if she is a Christian, she is saved by grace. She's indwelt with the Holy Spirit in the process of sanctification, which is the putting off of sin and the putting on of righteousness. Living men with understanding toward our wives is being sensitive and considering in a high priority the wife's deepest physical and emotional needs. Physical needs, emotional needs, companionship needs that our wives have. Dwelling with them together means living with someone in intimacy and cherishing them. Believing husbands must constantly nourish and cherish their wives in the bond of intimacy. Well, how do we do that? Well, we need an example. We need an example. And of course, our example is the perfect example of what it means to be a human being and a man. In Ephesians 5:25, Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. As much as there is said in Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3 about the wives and about women, this one phrase is much more difficult. Sometimes women say, gosh, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about wives and a lot to say about women, and much less so to say to the men. And that's not right. And that's not fair. However, when we look at this verse, 25, husbands, love your wives exactly in the same way as Christ loved the church. That is a tall order to fill. We have to ask ourselves a couple of questions, don't we? How did Jesus love the church? How did he love you? How did he love all of us? How did he love all of us together that makes up the universal church, the body of Christ? How did he love us? And I am supposed to love my wife in the same way. And this is where we need to start digging. How did Jesus love us? What did he do? How did he love the church? Well, he had to have a love that compelled him to act even when it was uncomfortable. Jesus was in heaven, right? He was in paradise, in glory with the Father. No sin, no death, no pain of any kind. In absolute perfection, in absolute glory, and he loved us enough to act by leaving there and coming here to a place of sin and depravity and wretchedness and death and all the horrors of this life as we know it today. Jesus loved us enough to act, to do something that was a great stepping down. We call it the great stooping. To step out of heaven, to come to a place like this place, because he loved us. Men, we are to love our wives that way, to act. Act in such a way that it takes us out of what we want, how we want it, when we want it, and even stepping out of where we want to be and what we want to be doing at the moment to serve. To serve. That's not easy. He came to serve. I didn't come to be served, Jesus says, but to serve. And to give my life as a ransom for many. Husbands, you are to serve your wife. Serve them. What does that mean? Well, you need to know what they need. Women, help us out. Sometimes you need to tell us. You need to tell us what you need. We can't read your mind, and we're not good guessers. We're pretty concrete guys. That's what it means to be a man. We are concrete. You tell us what you need, and we will meet that need to the very best of our ability. We actually want to. But if you don't tell us, we don't know. The point is, men, serve your wives. You need to be a servant. But I thought she was supposed to serve me. I'm the man. That's sin, and it's unbiblical. We're to serve one another. But I'm the man. She's supposed to serve and do my laundry and cook my meals and do all of this. You are to serve her. Because that's what Jesus did. He came to serve. And you and I am not greater than our master. Jesus came to serve. Not only that, Jesus came to sacrifice. Sacrifice. He sacrificed his life for us. Because he loves us. Men, we are to sacrifice for our wives. Even to the point of death. Sacrifice. Understand and live a life that it's not about you. It's not about what you want, when you want, how you want it, and it better be right. You sacrifice yourself. Which is according to what the Bible teaches in other places too. We've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. I'm already sacrificed. Now I sacrifice to serve my wife because that's what Jesus did. He sacrificed his desires and his comforts for the church to meet the church's greatest need. We as men sacrifice for our wives to meet their greatest need. And again, ladies, sometimes we're a little obtuse. Thank you. Wasn't the word I was thinking, but I like obtuse better. We are obtuse and we need your help. Tell us, I need you to do this for me, please. And I would think most of the men here would say, I would be happy. We can't meet your need if we don't know what it is. In Jesus, we see a real man. He's the real man. Not John Wayne. Not these other movie stars that play these roles on the big screen. Jesus is the real man. And he sacrificed and he served and he even left heaven. Why do we do that? What is the point of that? Live with them and with understanding. Love as Christ loved the church. Why do we do that? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be giving honor to your wife. Giving honor to your wife. Honor is a great level of respect and regard and high esteem and great value. It would be like the person who played a violin their whole life and they were poor and they always had old busted up violins and somebody at some point put into their hands a Stradivarius violin. And they would look at that and look inside and see the writing Stradivarius and they would hold it with honor because of the value of what they have in their hands. Giving honor to your wife. But she doesn't treat me that way. Why should I treat her that way? If she treated me that way, I would treat her that way. That doesn't cut ice with God. You stand before the Lord in judgment, men. So how did you do honoring your wife? Well, she didn't treat me very well. God heard all that before. He heard that before. Adam, did you eat of the tree? I told you not to. It was a woman. She made me do it. God wasn't buying. In the Garden of Eden, He won't buy it for you. He will say, yes, I will speak to her about that. She will be here soon. You will still give an account. It works in a reciprocal way, but it also will break down in a reciprocal way as well. Well, he doesn't treat me that way, I'm not going to treat him that way. Oh yeah, she's treating me bad, I'm going to treat her bad. Oh yeah, he's treating me bad, I'm going to treat him even worse. And the spiral goes down and down and down until it's all the way down the tubes. Regardless of how we are treated, we still must obey the Scripture. We are to give our wives the greatest respect and regard and esteem because they are of great value. Great value. We have a disposition of life which is concerned for their good at all times. That means no hard approach, no lording over, no harsh words, all of those kinds of things, no raised voice. Yet we implement the biblical truths and standards with kindness and tenderness and patience and gentleness and respect and regard. Because that is what the Word of the Lord tells us. Gentleness, patience, tenderness, kindness. Those are the biblical truths we saw in Jesus. That's how real men act. It is not a real man that treats his wife badly. That's not a real man. That's a man in deep sin. Deep, deep sin. Scripture tells us otherwise. We have to understand that they are a weaker vessel. Just as submission does not imply inherent inferiority for the ones who submit, so the word weaker does not mean the wife is intrinsically weaker in character or intellect or other specific abilities than her husband. It doesn't mean she is weaker in mind or intellect or anything like that. It also does not mean that she is spiritually inferior to men Many times, the women are spiritually more astute than the men. They spend more time in the Word of God, more time in prayer, more time in serving the Lord than the men do. So it's certainly not that they are spiritually inferior at all. But it means that they often, sometimes, generally possess less physical strength than men. Their emotional makeup is generally more sensitive. And with that in mind, we as Christian husbands are the sacrificial providers and protectors of our wives. That is part of our role, to sacrificially provide and protect, to honor, esteem, and regard of great value. Why is that? Well, because we are heirs together in the grace of life. The husband is to be a companion for his wife, as a fellow heir, sharing in the grace of life, which does not refer to eternal life, but to the true and intimate friendship that belongs only to those who are possessors of God's most blessed gift in this life, marriage. It is a blessed gift that God gives to us. Peter labels marriage as the grace of life, heirs together in the grace of life. He's referring to this marriage thing that we are involved with. It is a divine providence given to humanity, even to those who don't know God and don't regard God and have a bad attitude toward God. God still gives that. Intimate companionship in marriage, the richest blessing of this life. That was foreign in the Greco-Roman world of the first century. Husbands were generally not interested in a relationship with their wife. During Peter's day, the wife had two functions: take care of the house and have babies. That's it. That's it. In contrast, the Christian, we live a different way. The Christian husband is to cultivate all the riches of God's design into the grace of marriage by showing honor to his wife in loving consideration, servant leadership, and companionship. We understand, if both husband and wife are believers, that we're both in Christ. We're committed to the same gospel, the same Spirit. We are justified by the same faith. We know that we are both standing before the Lord Jesus Christ with no merit of our own, only His merit. And therefore, in Christ together, we can overcome any obstacle or issue that presents itself. We can sit down with the Word of God and say, let us reason together with the Word of God and deal with these things in mutual obedience to God's Word. If both are committed to the gospel and both are committed to dealing with sin biblically in repentance and living in righteousness, then marriages will succeed. It's as simple as that. Both repent, they reconcile, and then they move forward. Men are to have a right perspective of our wives' identity as heirs together in the grace of life, and then live according to that perspective, giving them honor. I touched upon this issue of respect last week, and the respect goes both ways. Wives are to respect your husbands. But sadly, I have to say all of this with a warning. And it's really a shame that I have to post this warning, but let me post this warning to you. In our culture today, so ravaged by sin and the God of this age blinding all people, the husband who seeks to obey God and the Word of God and seeks to be a humble servant, giving honor to his wife, will sometimes be seen by her as weak and not worthy of respect. And thus she will treat him badly in a variety of different ways, crushing his spirit until he merely seeks the path of least resistance in the relationship. That is the device of the evil one, to bring dishonor to the Word of God and to distort the truth of God's Word, to bring discord and enmity in marriages. And we have to recognize that and fight against that. We know how this works, that people who are humble servants are usually disrespected and considered not worthy of respect or honor. And that becomes a very significant problem. There is a great blessing in all of this. When we do this, men, dwell with our wives and with understanding, giving them honor as to the weaker vessel, because we are heirs together in the grace of life, the great blessing is that our prayers will not be hindered. That your prayers may not be hindered. We will have an unimpeded communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, what the Scripture is telling us, that a man's relationship with his wife is closely connected with his relationship with God. If we are not relating biblically with our wife, our communion with God is damaged and distorted, and our own spiritual progress cannot occur. We cannot become what God wants us to become. So if you're not relating right with your wife, you're not, according to this passage of Scripture, you're not right with God. You're not right with God. That's basically what it says. Our prayers are therefore hindered because we are not in a right relationship with our God. Because we're not in a right relationship with our wife. When we are in a right relationship with our wife, giving her honor and respect and dignity of being a sacrificial servant and submitting to that role as a sacrificial servant leader, then our prayers will not be hindered. We will have open and free fellowship with God. So what can we do? Well, let me give you a few applications. First of all, keep short accounts with your wife. In other words, deal with issues quickly. Deal with issues quickly. That's what we need to do. Got an issue? Deal with it. Talk about it. Sadly, with many people, we go silent and isolated. When we're mad, we go silent and we go isolated. Don't let that go on for very long. You might need an hour or two to deal with your anger, deal with whatever emotions you have going on, but don't let it go on for very long. Anger and isolation will make things a whole lot worse. A whole lot worse. This is usually a charge that this is what men do. They go silent and they go isolated. They don't want to deal with it. Women do this too. It is a bad road to be on. So spend some time, deal with your emotions, deal with your anger, and come back and let's sit down, let's fix this, let's resolve this. When our attitudes are of Jesus, it'll be easy to get things worked out. For both husbands and wives, ask yourself if you believe God's word enough to trust God in this. Do you believe that God knows best? Do you believe He wants what is best for you in marriage? In all of these verses about marriage, we really have to ask ourselves, does God know what He's talking about? Does God know best? Does God want what is best for me? If those answers are yes, yes, and yes, God does know best. I will trust in Him. I do believe He wants what is best for me. Then we live according to what He said. If we say, you know what, I really don't think God understands this whole marriage thing, so I'm going to do whatever I want, it will be difficult for you. It will be very, very difficult for you. There is nothing worse than a man who says he's a Christian and abuses his wife. Nothing worse. And if you are abusing your wife, especially physically, you're going to get a knock on the door. And I'm going to be really mad. And the next thing I'm going to do is call the police and see you off to jail. No tolerance. No tolerance for physical abuse. No tolerance for emotional abuse either. It's not love. Look at Jesus. Was He abusive? Look at the way Jesus treated women. Guys, read the Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just go through and look at how did Jesus deal with women. That's the way we do. That's the way we do, not only with our wives, but we give respect to all women. Because that's what Jesus did. We give careful attention to our role and our response as a husband. It tells the great truth that we do trust God. God does know what He's talking about. He does know what's best. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to try to do. And if I need help, I'm going to ask for it. so that I can be obedient to the Word of God. Marriages are better. Families are better. Children are better. Our community is better. And our society is better when we just obey the Word of God. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for your Word. We must come before you, for those of us men, this morning, and we must confess we have indeed fallen short. We haven't lived with our wives with understanding sometimes. We stumbled in giving her honor, high esteem, by doing those things that demonstrate that we honor her as a magnificent gift from the Lord. We've forgotten sometimes that she is a weaker vessel, physically and emotionally sometimes. Forgotten that she is the one who supplies to us the grace of life. And so, our Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our failure, of our desire to be a different kind of man, because we think it makes us look good when the kind of man that we are to be is one like Jesus. So we thank you for your shed blood that forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we would pray that as we seek to be obedient husbands in this regard, that our wives would not see us as weak, pathetic, and unworthy of respect, and treat us accordingly, for that also is of the devil. So we pray for our wives that they would see Jesus in us and respond accordingly. We thank you for the truth, a rare commodity in this world today, that we can hold on to it, we can help each other with it. Lead us by your Spirit, that our families would truly be a picture of Jesus for this world to see. Amen.